turn the tape over, it's still, what day is it? Still the 7th?
I don't want it. No, I'm fine.
7th of August, 1974, at Charlene and Dan's here in White Plains, New York. What were we talking about, Charlene?
Do you remember, Dan, can you be quiet? We're on tape again, please. Do you remember Grandma and Grandpa Hall telling stories about church leaders?
Well, yes, I can remember some. I can remember let's see, President McKay remembered my mother on account of some situation where my mother was trying to extricate her younger sister from a problem. I think my Aunt Blanche had run away from home, got married. I think there was an annulment, something like that. She had a child, or twins maybe, I've forgotten. I remember we used to have pictures of these kids around the house. They died, as I remember it. But there was some problem there, and my mother became involved with President McKay to straighten that up. And years later, President McKay still remembered my mom from that situation.
And what was her impression of him? Did she?
Oh, wonderful man. Yeah. I know they talked about church leaders, but I don't recall at this point any specific incident except that my mother took me to conference when I was a young baby. She tells me I was a baby in arms, and she was in the tabernacle at a general conference. So I went to conference at an early age.
Are there some pioneer stories Grandma and Grandpa passed down that might not be in other histories that you could tell now?
Well, none specific. I think most of our people walked across the plains. They were with wagons, but they walked. I'm pretty sure my grandmother Tracy walked all the way. That would have been my, let's see, I shouldn't say about my grandmother Tracy, she was a Burdette. I'm not quite sure how she did come across the plains. It would have been Helen Henry Tracy himself probably walked all the way across the plains, and his brothers and sisters. I'm not sure of that, even though I better not make any specific statements on this, because Nancy Naomi Alexander Tracy says that her husband was a good provider, and I know he had wagons and whatnot. They may have had a chance to do some riding across the plains.
What did Grandma Hall have to say about polygamy? Did she like it?
She was for it. She never said anything against polygamy. I don't know that she was for it for herself, but when people would raise the question as to how their families got along in polygamy, she was always positive that it got along okay.
Did she tell any stories about polygamy in her family, ancestors?
Only about her husband having to go to jail for it and things like that.
Oh, when I said Grandma Hall right now, you were talking about your Grandma Hall.
I was talking about my grandmother Tracy.
Your grandmother Tracy. Oh,
well,
I was talking about your mother.
My mother.
Had she heard anything there?
I don't remember anything that we don't have written down, you know, like Helen Henry Tracy's diary. He has a prison diary, which I have been going to type for the past 15 years. In fact, I may have it typed. I just haven't done anything with it. And there's Nancy Naomi Alexander Tracy's so-called diary, which is just a little brief history of her life.
Well, if while we're talking, you think of any additional details about any of these ancestors, any stories, bring them up again. Okay, how did you meet Mother?
Well, the girls in the own ward don't look too good to you for some strange reason, and you like to go out to other wards, do a little ward hopping when you get to be 18, 19, 20. And I had seen Mother at the ninth ward. Some of us boys would go to a dance over there when they'd have a dance in their ward. Stand around most of the time, too bashful to ask anybody to dance, but I had noticed Mother. And then one time, my best friend, Lane Compton, who lived on 30th Street when I first moved on 30th Street, he later moved to Jefferson Avenue near 28th Street. His father's name was George Compton. Lane and I were buddies all those early years, and we were walking down Washington Avenue on the east side of the street. I think it was near the Ben Lomond Hotel, and Ida Rose Langford came by. I didn't know her name, but I said to Lane, I said, "See that girl? I'm going to get a date with her." So I learned her name. I don't remember the details of how I learned her name and where she lived, got her telephone number, called her up for a date. She couldn't go. I don't remember the reason why, but I got a date for...
Did she know who you were?
Oh, I think so. I think she knew who I was. I'm sure she knew who I was. And I got a date for a little later on. I don't remember our first date. Mom would remember it. But I saw other girls just a little bit in between there and the time we got married. Not much, but I guess we went together for almost 2 years, and we're finally married.
Tell us about your courtship. How did you propose to her?
Mother told you that the other night. Didn't she put that on tape or not?
No, it wasn't on tape.
That wasn't on tape?
Mm-mm.
I thought we were taping that. No?
No.
Well, I had about $53, something like that. And decided it was about time to get engaged and get married. I was approaching 22 years of age, and Mom was about a year and a half younger. And so I went down to, Zales, I believe it was Anderson Jewelry, where Jack Jeffs, who was a member of our bishopric in those days, worked. Later on, Jack Jeffs went to Provo and worked for Zales, and I bought Mom a 1/3 carat engagement ring to replace her earlier engagement ring, which had somehow been lost. So both of Mom's engagement rings I purchased from Jack Jeffs. Anyway, I purchased a ring, I think about a 1/4 carat diamond, for $50. And when I went home that night at the supper table, everyone in the family seems to sense something was up. And my parents teased me about getting engaged or something. I didn't tell him. I guess I did. I guess I finally confessed and showed him the ring. So I called her up and said something about not having enough money to do too much, but let's go to a show. And I don't think we ever went to the show, but I walked her up to Lester Park, which is across the street east from the Monch building at the old Weber College. And we sat down under a tree, and I probably hugged her and kissed her a little bit, and then pulled out this ring and asked her if she'd marry me. I can't remember the words, but...
You mean you didn't get on your knees?
No, I think we just both sort of sat there. And you better get the story from her. Women remember these things better. Anyway, there wasn't too much light where we were sitting, so we had to run over under an arc light and look at the ring. She said yes, and this was about, I think, the 18th of July of 1941, and we were married in the Salt Lake Temple on the 24th of September of 1941. At the temple, I was working at Sperry Mills. My friend Frank Davis was the Elders Quorum president in the ward those days, and Lane Compton and I were his counselors. Frank had worked at Sperry Mills in their chemical laboratory. Frank was good at electronics and electrical stuff. He'd been doing some electrical things for them. Frank got me a job there, and it was a really good paying job for those days. It was 50 cents an hour. I worked as a chemist determining protein content, moisture content, ash content in flours and grains. Had all the dirty jobs around there. I remember one really bad job of mixing the concentrated sodium hydroxide solutions. Boy, when you're mixing that, the alkali spatters out, probably ruined my lungs from breathing the stuff. I had to transfer the sulfuric acid around. There were some tasks that were not very good, but the 50 cents an hour was really a high-paying job in those days. Anyway, you needed money so bad, and you didn't get off work in those days like you do now. You kept your nose to the grindstone except the very gravest of emergencies. I normally would have worked till 5 o'clock, because I remembered I got off work at 4 o'clock, ran home, rode my bike or something as fast as I could. Rudine Allred, who had recently been married, and his new bride agreed to take us to the temple. My father had to work. He was working, I think in those days, at Hill Field as a railroad engineer or fireman on the railroad within the Hill Field complex. And he couldn't go on account of work. My mother went. But Rose's parents didn't go at that time, because the father was inactive, and the mother could have got a temple recommend to go, but decided not to go since her husband couldn't. So that was a wedding party. My mother, Rudine Allred, and his wife, I think her name was Irene, and Mom. And we were married at an evening session. It took a long time. We got out about 11 o'clock. In those days, you didn't plan much ahead. I guess youth doesn't often anyway. Didn't know where. Well, we had planned ahead enough to have an apartment to live in while we were going to school. I was a senior that year, University of Utah. But we couldn't be in that apartment for 3 days. So we stopped at the Mission Motor Lodge, which is near a Warm Springs swim place there. I guess it's still there in Salt Lake City, on the south outskirts of Salt Lake City. It used to be the end of the streetcar line. And they dropped us off there. Not having much money, I tried to beat them down on the price. I think I succeeded by about 50 cents. And as I remember it, we stayed there for something like $3 a night, maybe $2.50 a night, for 3 nights. For our honeymoon, we went to the Utah State Fair, which was there.
Boy, that sounds really great, Dad.
And, well, we didn't have any money. Well, what money we did have, I had $300, and we had to have that to go to school on.
It's our honeymoon. We just drove back east, so.
So, then we moved into Lucy Van Cott's apartment on a street there. I think the street was University Avenue. $15 a month rent for sitting room and an outdoor sleeping porch, which was a little bit cool in the winter time. But that's where we started our married life.
Who was with you in the temple?
Well, I told you that. Rudine Allred, his wife, and my mother.
How come Grandpa wasn't there?
Well, he had to work. Couldn't really get
it.
Well, you, in those days, you just didn't. You had to work. You didn't get off or something like that.
Hmm. What was your reception like?
Well, the reception, I'd forgotten. That's right, we had a reception. It was held in the 9th Ward, which was Ida Rose's ward, and put on by her parents, mainly. My parents supplied a few things. My father was not to the reception either. He had to work for that. And my brother Eugene was my best man. we had a picture taken by my friend Daryl Reeder at the reception, and as I remember it, Joyce Hall, not yet married to my brother Gene, was in the line. Mm-hmm. I think Barbara Bailey, who is now married to Ray Beeling, was, I believe, Mom's best girl. What's the opposite of the best man? And there was, and her parents and my mother and maybe a few others were in the line. We have a picture of that. It was a dance. That's the way they all were in that day. Many people brought us gifts. We had so many gifts. We had to lug all that stuff down to Salt Lake City later on. Had to try. And I remember, and you know, nowadays when the wedding's over, the bride and the groom skip out and other people handle that stuff. But we had to help get all those presents out of there and away in Grandpa Langford's truck. But it was a nice reception. It was a good reception. All my friends came and many people were there.
What did Mother look like?
Beautiful. She was thin, skinny, probably didn't weigh 120 pounds.
Tell us about the first years of your married life while you were in school.
Well, Dr. Walter D. Bonner, who was chairman of the chemistry department, found out I was married, he right off gave me a good job, a part-time job, so I'd have enough money. In addition to that, I continued to go weekends. I would hitchhike to Ogden. Couldn't afford to pay the, usually went by train in those days. You would take the Bamberger Railroad, which ran between Ogden and Salt Lake. But that would shoot all of my weekend earnings to ride that. So I'd hitchhike up to Ogden, work the night shift, usually Saturday night, and then sleep at my mother's, and then somehow get back, hitchhike back to Salt Lake. I don't remember the details of that. I may have gone to church in Ogden, I've forgotten. I think I'd go to church in Ogden with my parents and then hitchhike back to Salt Lake Sunday evening. And I kept that up for almost all that year. Mother got a job working in Woolworths. She had worked at Woolworths in Ogden in the food area. I think she got a job clerking in Woolworths at about $12 a week. When it came June of that year, time to graduate, we started looking at our financial situation, and I had made so much more money just working part-time than Mom was able to make in the five and dime store. I said, I think we can make it with just me earning a living. Why don't you quit? She went and got on the telephone to the neighbors and called them up and told them she wasn't coming back to work, and that's the end of that.
She didn't take much persuading.
Mom had a miscarriage while we were still at Van Cotts, so there could have been a baby to precede you, Shirlene, but she had a miscarriage, one and only miscarriage she had.
How far along was she?
Oh, I don't remember, 6 weeks or something like that, but she got really sick one evening, and you know, was sort of, I don't know how to say it, almost out of her mind, you know, with pain, and there's nothing I can do to console her. I'd try, she's too hot, she's too cold, I'd try and comfort her, nothing I could do, you know. And it went on for so long, I decided we need to get a doctor, so I awakened the Mrs. Van Cott. She never did get married, she was Dino Emmon there, spinster. And she said, She's pregnant. She's had a miscarriage or something, and we didn't. No, she's not had a miscarriage or anything. But the next day, we decided we'd better get up to Ogden and get her to a doctor.
You mean you didn't even know she was pregnant?
No. And so we took her to a doctor up in Ogden, and he just went to work in the doctor's office right there, and she's having a miscarriage, and took that scalpel thing and cleaned her womb all out and whatnot, you know. You'd go to a hospital for that nowadays. We did it right there in the doctor's office, and when she got out of there, she's a new woman, felt perfectly okay, you know, even after all the trauma of that. And she never had another miscarriage. doctors, she went to the doctor for an examination before we were married, as you do, you know, and she had a tipped uterus, and the doctor told her she'd have trouble with miscarrying, trouble having babies to full term. But she, after that first one, she did, and she did okay.
Had seven children.
Seven kids.
That's great. Do you have any other memories of that first years of your marriage?
Oh, I guess there are lots of things. You'd go on forever, really. I don't know what the important things would be to talk about. Excuse me. Well, I buckled down and did better in school after we were married. I was taking too many weekends to run up to Ogden during the previous year, you know, to see Otter Old Langford. I'd go almost every weekend. So I had, once married, I had more time for study and got more accomplished. That year, I took some of my hardest courses. I was taking electricity and magnetism in physics and modern physics and advanced mathematics of one kind or another, and some of the very difficult courses. I remember this electricity and magnetism course being a particularly difficult one for me. It's a good thing I was married, because I did have more time to buckle down and get that one out of the way.
Where did you live? What was your apartment like?
Well, this apartment, as I mentioned, had a sitting room. You shared the kitchen with all kinds of other students, and the bathroom. A very narrow, little tiny living sitting room, if you want to call it that, and then a sleeping porch, just screened in. Slept there winter and summer. That first winter was just freezing out there.
Mm.
But
can you remember what your rent was?
Yeah, $15 a month. Maybe 18. Might have been $18 a month. Mom wanted to move into something that cost $45 a month. We had a little friction in those days. I wanted to live just as cheap as you possibly can, and Mom always felt we could live it up a little bit. It's always been that way.
Familiar old story. Any specific memories about the births of Charlene, Tracy, and David?
Oh, yeah. With you, I can't remember. Mom would remember those details better, but I know that I can remember getting a taxi cab and taking Mom to the LDS hospital and waiting around outside for hours. I may have gone back to home or school. I don't remember how long it took for you to be born. But you were finally born, and you were our pride and joy. We took lots of pictures of you. I can still remember Mom. Young, pretty, skinny, sort of like, skinny like Charlotte still is. And you. She's a good mother. Tracy Jr., I don't know the details of that, because you see, I was in the Navy and I was back in Boston, and there was a certain time I could be home, and we thought Tracy might be born just about the time I got home, but he beat me by early morning, as I remembered. I got there maybe 10 in the morning, and he was born at 4 in the morning. But he was born at Hill Field, where it was cheap because I was in the Navy and you could go to a military installation, see. So he was born there. David was born about the time I was getting... When was David born?
I can remember that I was staying with Grandma Langford when David was born. I don't know if she had all of us, but I know she had me.
Seems to me we went to the LDS hospital. I was going to get a taxi and pick him up, and it seems that Henry Eyring offered to go in his car, and we picked Mom up. And I can remember carrying Mom into the car from the wheelchair. In those days, they kept women for, I think it was 2 weeks in hospitals.
Sounds great.
They wouldn't let them do a thing. They didn't make them get up and exercise. And
Chris, after it was probably bad for them.
Yeah, and it was bad for them. And it cost more money, too. Of course, hospital costs weren't bad in those days. You have a baby for $35 bill. $35 is all the doctor charged. Hospital was probably about the same, $35, $50. But I think we lived in Stadium Village when David was born. Could that be? Yeah, I think Henry Eyring brought him home. So we had three kids.
I can remember looking at David, and I'd expected this beautiful little baby, because that's what Mother said about him over the phone. And he had that clear, fair skin. It was almost transparent, and I could see all the little blue blood veins.
Yeah, that's right. David was that way.
Under the skin, and I thought that looked kind of funny.
Yeah, he was a translucent baby. Yeah, I remember that too. I think David's still a little bit that way.
He was a beautiful baby when I look at some of his baby pictures, but I can just remember that impression when he first came back. And how did World War II affect your life? Under what circumstances did you first learn of the bombing of Pearl Harbor?
Well, I was studying this electricity and magnetism book that I just mentioned in our little apartment there in Lucy Van Cotts. Mother was playing checkers or some other day, a game with some of the single men there, which she often did while I was studying.
You still want checkers?
And, no.
She said you were playing checkers with single men.
What game were you playing with those boys when I was studying, when we heard of the bombing?
We were putting a puzzle together.
It was a puzzle we were putting together, okay. And, and I don't know whether I was listening to the radio. I think I was listening to the radio while I was studying. See, I used to build radios when I was a kid, so we had a radio.
It was an old beat-out.
Old beat-out radio there. I was probably listening to it when I was studying. And just suddenly there on the 7th of December of 1941. 41, yeah, we'd only been married.
Just married.
A couple of months.
3 months.
3 months. The Japanese have bombed Pearl Harbor. And you heard it too about the same time and came in and tell me, but I already knew because I was listening to the radio.
Somebody came running into the room and they said, Japs have bombed Pearl Harbor. And I said, where's Pearl Harbor? And they said, Hawaii. And I said, oh, they wouldn't dare.
There had been trouble brewing between, of course, the Germans, you know, had already been fighting Great Britain and whatnot, and there'd been some trouble between Japanese and the USA. We didn't pay that much attention.
I didn't even know there was
in
any
those
problems.
Days. But that's the news we got, and yeah, we were scared because we knew what that meant. Young men going into service.
My mother had told me that, and I talked to her about whether I ought to marry Tracy or not, because I was afraid if I married him, I'd interrupt his education. And I was really surprised when she says, yes, I think you should get married. You might just as well have a little bit of happiness. There's a war coming.
Oh, she knew that, hmm?
And I didn't pay much attention to it even then, because I hadn't paid any attention. I didn't know. I knew that the Germans were fighting over in Germany, you know, and I knew there was a world war going on, but that it should touch us, it hadn't even occurred to me.
So then what was...
Well, we had to get a classification, a draft classification, right away, and of course, at first they weren't taken married. So I was deferred for a while on account of being married, and then you came along, and that added to the deferment. Because
that's why you had me.
So if you had kids, that helped a little. But then eventually, everybody was going into the war, so you finally knew they were going to get you. And rather than be drafted, I enlisted. But they would have had me anyway, you know, in a few months. And the reason I enlisted is that I didn't want to be in the Army. If I was going to be any place, I wanted to be in the Navy. And I had heard that you could get, I wanted to do something technical. I just didn't want to be a guy shooting a gun and that sort of thing. And I had heard that there might be a possibility of getting into electronics if you were in the Navy. So I enlisted in the Navy on it. You didn't know for sure who they'd take, because on some days they'd put you in the Army, some days put you in the Marines, some days in the Air Force, some days in the Army. No choice.
They just have a quota.
But, you know, a lot of scuttlebutt goes around, and we got that on this day they were definitely going to be taking you in the Navy. So I definitely got in the Navy. Now, I applied to be an officer. You see, I had a master's degree in chemistry, and with a bachelor's degree, you're eligible automatically to become an officer. I was working at the Bureau of Mines,